If we tap into the power of prayer, we will change this world. If we will make our requests known to God, we will change this world. The greatest untapped resource of wealth in this universe is inside of you, in your mouth and in your heart. Okay, welcome to episode 39 of Think Like a Champion, a podcast dedicated to helping you win in every way and enjoy every day. Today, I'm going to take on part two of what I started last week, which is really part four of how to pray like a champion. And I want to talk to you about a miracle mindset, a miracle mindset. We have to have a mindset for miracles. I told you I would tell you the five major types of prayer as well, which I will. But we have to start with a miracle mindset. Like, we should be expecting miracles. We should be expecting signs and wonders. We should be expecting, as children of God, we should be expecting to be able to prophesy, expecting to be able to pray with power, expecting to be able to have divine appointments, expecting for favor to surround us like a shield. We have to have a miracle mindset, an expectation that something good is going to happen in our lives. David said in, in Psalm chapter 27, verse 13, I would have despaired unless I believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord, unless I expected that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Despair and depression will settle into your life if you don't have your mind expecting something better, expecting the goodness of God, expecting something good to happen, expecting God to show up mightily in your life, expecting a but God moment, expecting God to interfere with Satan's plan in your life, expecting God to interrupt the pattern of defeat in your life, to interrupt the pattern of depression, the pattern of negativity, the pattern of fear and anxiety, worry, and sadness and sorrow. My God, he did everything for us on the cross so that we could have eternal life, which doesn't start when we die. Eternal life starts the moment we really begin to live. The moment we accept Jesus into our life as our Savior is the moment eternal life begins. Really, in one sense, we will live forever. It's just a matter of who are we going to live with God forever or without him forever. And that is really the summation of heaven and hell. Doesn't matter what the streets are made of. If God's there, you're good. If God's there, you'll never be separated from him forever. And hell is really the absence of God's presence. And who wants to live in the absence of God's presence? Even right now in this earth, God's presence is what's preserving this world from not all going to hell in a handbasket. You know, there are bad things in this world, but God's presence is keeping those things from taking over the entire planet. There is so much power you have in prayer, and I want you to have a miracle mindset. 2 Corinthians 6:12 in the Message Bible, we didn't fence you in. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. Paul is telling us our lives aren't small. It doesn't matter what your job is. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter what you're doing right now. Your life is not small. It's big in God's eyes. Start seeing it big in your eyes. And so is everybody else's life. It's not like I'm better than you or you're better than me. We're all equal in Christ, but we all have been made big by him. As he is, so are we in this world, the Bible says. Now listen, if we tap into the power of prayer, we will change this world. If we will make our requests known to God, we will change this world. If we would realize that the greatest untapped resource of wealth in this universe is inside of you, in your mouth and in your heart. The greatest source of wealth is in your mouth and in your heart. What we believe and what we speak are the most important things in our life. And that's why he said, if you believe Jesus rose from the dead, if you believe in your heart that Jesus has risen from the dead, and if you say with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, you'll be saved. What is he saying? He's saying the greatest power in the universe to activate the gift of salvation, to activate God's power, is your mouth and your heart, your mouth and your heart, what you believe and what you say. Now, let me get into this five types of prayer that we have in the Bible, because I've been criticized, and I'm okay with it. I've been criticized by talking about how powerful we can pray like Elijah. And people would say, some people have said, well, that's not real prayer, and that's not what God wants us to do. And I believe that is real prayer, and I have biblical evidence for that. But more importantly, I want you to see that it's not the only type of prayer. So there are five major types of prayer that I employ in my life, that I believe in my life. The first type of prayer, and the most important one of all, is the prayer of communion with God. The prayer of communion. This is fellowship with God. I don't mean just the communion elements. I mean communing with God. I mean talking with God. The prayer of communion. The prayer of coming together with our Heavenly Father and talking to Him. Jesus said, go into your closet and pray to your Father who's in heaven, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And I'm not even focusing on the reward. I'm focusing on how we can go into our closet to pray and our Heavenly Father is there to talk to us. The prayer of communion is talking to God. It's worshiping Him. It's praising Him. The prayer of communion is, Father, I thank you that you're with me. Father, I thank you that you love me. Father, I thank you that you're for me. Father, I thank you that I can love you because you first loved me. Father, I thank you that I can trust you because you never let me down. I can trust you because you're faithful. I can trust you because you keep your promises. Father, I want to thank you for this day. I want to thank you for the life you've given me. I want to thank you for the people in my life. I'll praise you, Lord. I just worship you. I just want you to know how much you mean to me. Lord, I just give you glory. I give you praise. I just adore you. I'm so grateful. I'm so thankful. I'm here to just be your child. I'm here to just welcome you as my Father, to come and invade my life and come and touch where I'm broken and heal it and come touch where I'm hurting and fix it and come, Lord, and just be my sufficiency where I feel insufficient. This is the prayer of communion. It's talking to God. It's worshiping Him. It's fellowshipping with Him. Father, I just want to thank you for the life you've given me. Father, I'm so glad to have you in my life. I'm so glad to be called your child. I really can't thank you enough. Like I'm saying that for real right now. We can talk to God right now. We can just say, Father, we're so grateful for the opportunity that we have to share on this podcast. We're so grateful for the ability to call ourselves the children of God. Father, we invite you to move in our lives. We invite you to take the blinders off our eyes. One of my prayers is, oh Lord, that I would see you more clearly, right? Don't you want to see him more clearly? That I would love him more dearly and that I would follow him more nearly. Why don't we make that our prayer of communion with God right now? Prayer type number one. One type of prayer that I pray is the prayer of communion. Let's just pray that together. Just pray this with me out loud and just say, Father, that I would see you clearly. My prayer is that I would see you more clearly, right? Because we only see in part, but we can see a little bit more and a little bit more, a little bit more as we ask God. Father, I pray that I would see Jesus more clearly. Father, I pray that I would then love him more dearly. And Father, I pray that I will then follow him more nearly. You know, that's just so simple and it rhymes and is something maybe you can remember for the rest of your life. That I might see him more clearly, that I might love him more dearly, that I might follow him more nearly. Wow, if you prayed that every day, that's fellowshipping with God. That's talking with him. That's communion. That's the prayer of communion. And that, in my opinion, is the most important type of prayer. Everything else are gifts, and everything else is vital, and everything else is amazing parts of life that we should enjoy, those other types of prayer. But the most important prayer is the prayer of communion. Obviously, the most important prayer is the prayer of invitation, right? Inviting Jesus to come into your life. But then it's the prayer of communion. And by the way, if you are watching this right now and you've never invited Jesus into your life, that's very simple too. We can just begin this prayer of communion by inviting him into our life. Just pray this. Just say, Heavenly Father, I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. I invite you, Jesus, to come into my life and be my Savior. I recognize that you are Lord, and I agree that you are Lord. Whew. If you prayed like that for the first time, you just came into a relationship with God. He's always wanted you. He's always been searching for you, seeking you. He's always been interested in you. And now you've invited him in. He doesn't go where he's not invited. So now that you've invited him in, he will never leave you or forsake you. Let me know in the comments section, or let me know somehow that you prayed that prayer for the first time, the prayer of invitation. But the first type of prayer, style of prayer, is the prayer of communion, fellowshipping with God. And we see David doing this a lot in the book of Psalms, that Psalms are really the expression of David's heart, the expression of his victories and the expression of his defeats, the expression of his gratitude and thanks to God and trusting God, and the expression of his mistrust of God. You know, you can trust God and mistrust him all at the same time, and it's okay, and God understands, and he's not mad at you. It's just we have to realize we're human, and sometimes we're not being trustful of God. Sometimes we are, and sometimes we're not, and we're kidding ourselves if we think we always are. But I think the whole concept of the prayer of communion is all about vulnerability and being honest with yourself and honest with God. We don't have to fight our way into God's presence. The blood of Jesus ushers us in to God's presence. Now we get to talk to him. Now we can go boldly to him. And which leads me to the second type of prayer, the prayer of petition. The prayer of petition. This is where we're asking for something that we need. We're asking for something that we need. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. So we have, there's no debate on whether God wants to supply our needs. The debate that exists among Christians is how we should ask him and how much we should expect. But I think we should ask him as boldly as we possibly can and ask him as wildly as we possibly can. Dream big and ask big and watch God do bigger, because he can do exceeding abundantly above and beyond all that we can ask or think, right? In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, we see that. But the prayer of petition is asking for what you need. It's making your request known to God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, do not be anxious for anything. So he gives us the cure to anxiety, or one of the cures to anxiety is prayer. He said, don't be anxious for anything. How? But by prayer and petition, make your request known to God, and make your request known to God with prayer and petition with thanksgiving, which we'll get to, which is another type of prayer. Make your request known to God. You know, one of the reasons we're anxious is because we have requests, we have desires, we have needs, and we have wants, but we haven't made that request known to God. We might have even made our request known to each other. We might have even made our request known to a therapist. We might have made our request known to our friends. We might have made our request known to our family. But until you make your request known to God, the anxiety's not going anywhere, most likely. He says, make your request known to God. Like, everybody else seems to know your request, but you're not making it known. You say, doesn't God already know? Yes, he knows. That's why he says it in this way, making your request known to God. You making it known. He already knows it, but you're making the request. You see the difference? I know God already knows everything that I will ever want or need, but there's a deliverance, there's a power, there's a breakthrough out of anxiety as I am making my request known to God. This is the prayer petition. This is the prayer petition, making my request known to God. Well, what can you request? Well, what is your desire? Is it your desire to start a business? Is it your desire for your family members to be saved? Is it your desire to recover from an accident or a sickness or a disease? Make your request known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, shall guard your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. So really the most important thing about the prayer petition is coming to a place of peace. The most important thing is not just getting your prayer request answered. That is something that God promises he will do, but more importantly, because sometimes we miss the target on what we're asking for. So it's not like God's trying to hold out on us, but sometimes we're asking for something that we don't really need to be asking for, and we're not zeroed in on what God has already promised us. So we should start by praying things he already promised. We should look in the promises of God, like my grace is sufficient for you, or a promise like no weapon formed against you will prosper, no evil will come near your dwelling place. We should look at a promise like that, and we should then make that our petition. Father, I thank you that your word says that no weapon formed against me will prosper, but it seems like the weapons that are formed against me are prospering, but your word says they will not reach their final destination, because that's what one word for prospering really is. It means to reach the final destination. If you have a prosperous journey, it means you got where you were intending to go. If you don't make it to the intended place, then your journey was not prosperous, was it? Well, unless you made it to a better place, right? So that's, I guess there's that. But the prayer petition is you going to God on the basis of something he's already said. He's already promised, and now I'm asking him for that. God, you promised that I could ask anything according to your will, and it would be done for me. Now I know it's your will for my family to be saved. And so I'm asking you, Father, to save every one of my family members, everyone related to me, every close relative, every distant relative, every near relative, everyone who thinks they're a relative. I just ask for their salvation. Like, go for it. Go big and make your request known to God. And then add thanksgiving to it. And I'll come back to that in a moment because it's so important that we understand what that means. And I will answer that as well. But now we have the prayer of communion, number one, and then we have the prayer of petition, number two. And then the third type of prayer is the prayer of intercession. Now, what's the difference between the prayer of petition and the prayer of intercession? Well, the prayer of petition is usually where you're praying about something for yourself. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the prayer of intercession is when you're asking for somebody else's need to be met. So the prayer of petition is when you're asking God to meet your need. The prayer of intercession is when you're standing in the gap for somebody else and you're praying for them, for God to meet their need. Like when Paul says in Philippians chapter 1, I think you know this scripture. I'm sure you probably know verse 6 of this scripture, but I'd like to just read to you verse 3 first, chapter 1, verse 3, where he says, chapter 1, verse 3, I'm already reading chapter 3. He says, grace to you and peace from our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. For I'm praying for you, I'm thanking God for you, and I'm making my prayer made known for you. In every prayer of mine for you, I pray with joy. And from the first day until now. So what is this? This is the prayer of intercession. The word intercession means to stand in the gap. What is the gap? The gap is between your beloved person or your loved one or your friend. There's a gap between where they are and what God has for them. And the prayer of intercession is to stand in the gap so that there's a connection between where they're at and what God has for them, and you become that, your prayer of intercession becomes the connector between them and what God has for them. That's a powerful gift to be able to pray like that and pray for others in that way. It's so powerful that Paul said, and I am sure of it, that he who began the good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So his prayer was remembering them, thanking God for them, and praying that God, who began a good work in them, will finish it until the day of Christ Jesus. That's the prayer of intercession. And there's many other places in the Bible where somebody is praying for somebody else. So we have the prayer of communion, we have the prayer of petition, we have the prayer of intercession. The fourth kind of prayer is what I shared with you about several weeks ago, the power of prophetic prayer, like Elijah when he prayed that it would not rain. I've had some people criticize and say, well, you can't pray like Elijah. you're not like Elijah, you're not a prophet like Elijah, but yet Jesus said, of all the prophets, John the Baptist was the greatest of them all, but the least of you in the kingdom of God, he said, the least of you is greater than even John the Baptist. So if we are greater as, if we're greater than the prophet John the Baptist, who was greater than Elijah the prophet, because John was the greatest prophet according to Jesus, now Matthew chapter 11, then if he could pray a prophetic prayer and declare that it would not rain, then we could pray. Now, I'm not saying that we should go around and try to change the weather because we don't like being cold. I like to pray that way sometimes, but it doesn't always work, because that's not why he's giving us that illustration. He's not illustrating for us that you should pray against bad weather, although there's nothing wrong with praying against bad weather that could be destructive, and it can obey you. If it's something, weather that could destroy somebody else's life, we should pray against those things, and we should speak to those winds, and we should speak to those. So I'm saying yes and no, in the sense that, yes, you can pray that way, but no, that's not why he's put this in here. He put it in here to show you that prayer isn't always going to God about something. One form of prayer is the prayer of prophecy, where you're prophesying, where you're declaring, where you're speaking to the mountain to be removed and cast into the sea. Although you're not praying that to God, he puts it under the category of prayer in James chapter 5, and Jesus puts it in that category in Mark chapter 11 when he says, whosoever will speak to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, it will obey you if you don't doubt in your heart. And then he said, when you pray, for whatever you ask, believe you have received it, and it will be granted to you. So when you speak to the mountain to be removed and cast into the sea, believe it will obey you. Believe you have received it. Believe it's done. Believe it's moved even before it moves. Is Jesus telling us to go to Mount Kilimanjaro? Is Jesus telling us to go to some other mountain and make it move? No, he's telling us that there is that kind of power that we are carrying. And so to not be limited with small prayers, because if you have the power to move a mountain by your words, then you should go ahead and pray bold, big things, like praying for your family salvation and declaring, I declare in Jesus' name, every one of my family members saved according to Acts chapter 16, verse 31 and 32. I prophesy over my family members salvation and softness of heart and openness of heart. I pray that and I prophesy that in Jesus' name. Elijah, when he prayed that it would not rain, he said to Ahab, as the Lord lives, it will not rain for 3.5 years. It will not rain until I say so. And God called that prayer. But it was a prophetic utterance of a declaration, a proclamation. It will not rain until I say so. We would look at that in our naked eye and say, that's not prayer. That's commanding something. But you're not commanding God. He didn't command God to do something. He commanded the earth to not receive rain until he said so. Now, I realize that some people take this to the extreme where they say, okay, so he's saying that we should just pray against rain and we should pray for weather. And I'm trying to say that he's showing us that there's so much authority that we could pray at that level, even though we most likely will never really need to pray at that level. But if we can pray at that level, we can pray for our needs to be met. We can pray for our family to be saved. We can pray for the food on our table. We can pray for these things. And of course you say, well, you shouldn't pray for those things. You should go to work for those things. I get it. That's not the point. We have to understand the spirit of what prayer is. It's to call forth things, asking things of God that he promised that we haven't shown up yet, and thanking him for those things and speaking those things into being, calling forth those things, prophesying, which means uttering God's word over a situation, speaking forth, letting the word of God bubble up inside of you and speaking it out of your mouth. That is prophetic prayer, the fourth kind of prayer. We see it in James chapter 5. We see it in 1 Kings chapter 17. We see it where Job says, God says to Job, you shall decree a thing and it shall be so. You shall decree a thing and it shall be so. And what about in 2 Corinthians, we shall call forth those things that be not as though they are, as though they were. Romans and Corinthians says that. That's prophetic prayer. That's powerful. And we have that fourth type of prayer that is available to us. And then the fifth kind of prayer is the prayer of thanksgiving. So when we talk about Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7, once your request is made known to God, we thank him. Father, I'm asking for my family members' salvation, each one of them. You promised that my whole household would be saved. I ask you for that. And now I want to thank you that it's done in Jesus' name. I want to thank you that it's going to happen. I want to thank you that it's going to show up. I want to thank you that you've heard my prayer. You know, Jesus prayed this way. And as he is, so are we in this world, right? Jesus prayed this way in John chapter 11, verse 41. He said, Father, I thank you that you've heard me. Now, I want you to realize what he's about to do in John chapter 11. He's about to raise Lazarus from the dead. And he says, Father, I thank you. This is how he prays out loud. Father, I thank you that you have heard me. And I know that you always hear me. But I said this on account of the people standing around, that they may believe that you have sent me. And then when he said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, verse 43, Lazarus, come forth. And the man who had died came forth. Wow. That is actually a combination of the prayer of thanksgiving, Father, I thank you, and the prayer of prophecy, which is Lazarus, come forth. He's thanking the Father, but he's speaking to the dead. You see that? And Jesus does it this way because he's modeling for us that we can do it this way too. And there are several places in Scripture where we can do this. This is the prayer. But the prayer of thanksgiving is such a powerful form of prayer. Father, I thank you. Gratitude is really the proof that you believe what you just prayed for. So in Mark 11, 24, when Jesus says, whatsoever things you ask and pray, believe you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. It's funny how he says it. He says, believe you have received them, and they shall be granted to you. Well, if I believe I've received them, doesn't it mean they're granted to me? No, that's the point. He's saying, believe you received it even when you haven't seen it yet. When you ask, he's telling us when we should believe we receive it. When you ask, in that moment, believe you have received it because you asked for it. And he said, and then it shall be granted to you. So if I say, I've asked you for that, Jesus, I believe I have received it, then I don't have to worry about it being granted to me. It will be granted. It might not be granted today. It might not show up today. It might not show up tomorrow. But I know it's going to show up because Jesus said, believe you have received it when you ask for it. Don't believe you've received it when it's been granted to you. Believe you received it when you asked for it, and then it shall be granted to you. That is the prayer. That really is thanksgiving in one sense, that when you believe you received it, it's going to make you grateful. When you believe you've received it, it's going to make you thankful. When you believe you receive it, it's going to make you positive, not negative. If you believe you receive it, you won't be like, well, where is it? If you believe you received it, you're not asking where is it. You know that it's somewhere, but you've received it. Amen. As I close in today's podcast, I just want you to think for a moment about the power of prayer. It is the invisible force that taps into the power of peace and freedom from anxiety, according to Philippians 4. The power of prayer releases effectual results, according to John chapter 16, verse 24, and James chapter 5, verse 17. Prayer affects natural circumstances. Joshua chapter 10, verses 10 through 13. Prayer results in deliverance for people that are in bondage of some kind, that we could pray and they'll be delivered according to Acts chapter 12. Your prayers are going to open doors for your family salvation according to Acts chapter 10, verse 2. Your prayers are going to produce joy according to John chapter 16, verse 24. Jesus said, when you ask in my name, ask and receive that your joy would be made full. And in John chapter 14, he said in verse 13, whatsoever you ask in my name, I will do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Wow. To really understand that God is glorified when we receive the answer to our prayers. It gives him glory. That's a beautiful thought. Listen, the scope of prayer, it has no horizons. It has no limits. It's so great. It's so vast and tremendous. God wants you to reach out to the furthest horizons you possibly can imagine through the power of prayer. Use the strength and power that God wants you to have and God has already given you in Jesus' name, and you will see amazing things happen. Lord, open our eyes to see how simple and how great this life of prayer can really be, that it's not drudgery, it's not laborious, it's a privilege, it's an honor, and it's powerful. And I ask you to open our eyes to see that today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thanks for joining me on Think Like a Champion. Would you share this or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts? And would you take a moment to give, to pay it forward? Let's get this message out. Let's get this message of praying like a champion. Let's get this out to the world as in every way we can. When you give, you're planting a seed towards that happening for somebody else. Would you go to lifechangeschurch.com/give and just make your best gift? And you can give by text, and there's ways online you can give. You can see it all on the screen or in the link in the box, in the comment box. But thanks again for joining me today. I can't wait to see you on our next podcast of Think Like a Champion. And if you don't have a church that you can call home, if you don't have a family, a church family that you call home, then join us at Life Changers Church online anywhere in the world, lifechangerschurch.com, or in one of our locations in the Chicago area. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to see you next time. God bless.